This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Monday, December 8th, and it is nice to have you along for this Monday morning. Selena Heller is with us. Kristen Lyerly is with us. We'll have the forecast from Brittany Merlot in just a sec here. But allegedly, Mr. Bach, it is time for us to tell people about a brand new contest, another text to win contest, I guess would be the proper way to put it. There we go. Yeah. My goodness, we make it sound so fancy here. It's Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win contest, and if you've been part of a previous contest, you got a pretty good idea of what's going on here. Is that during various hours throughout the day, we will be reading off a key word at some point at the start of an hour, and then before the end of the hour, you've got till then to use the Civic Media app to text the keyword to us to qualify to win that hour. There are hourly winners, and then the folks that win those hourly contests are also in the running for grand prizes. So during the hourly prizes, there are cash giveaways, and there are also overnight stays at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then among the grand prizes, there will be 8 grand prize winners. They will be chosen randomly to get one of the gifts on the grown-up Christmas list, which include everything from an espresso machine to humidifiers to a robot vacuum to a luggage set to a snowblower. So here comes this hour's keyword, and this one is for $100 and a chance to be part of the grand prize on the grown-up gift list. The word is jolly. J-O-L-L-Y. Jolly. Text jolly before the end of this hour, and you will be part of the text to win contest. Brittany, good morning. How are you? How was your weekend?
Good morning. I'm jolly. I'm fantastic.
Are you jolly?
Yes.
Very good. It was so much warmer. It was in the teens on Friday, and we've got 30s and 40s right now. And is it going to last? Like, can we keep this like all week, maybe for a month or so? Maybe?
Oh,
till like June?
Nice.
Well, like June, nope. Maybe? Anything like that? Just today? Is that
how
it?
How about till Thursday?
How about, here's a trade. How about I bring it back on Sunday for you?
Bring it back on Sunday?
Okay, well. And Sunday. You know, that's better, it. Otherwise, better, we're dropping cold, guys.
Better than a poke in the eye, I guess. All right. So tell us more.
All right. So, yes, this is the warmest day of the week for sure. Temperatures are going to be making it to the low to mid 40s throughout the state. A little bit of sunshine further south. Then up north, we're looking at more cloud cover and also a wintry mix moving in once again this afternoon. So what's happening is we've got 2 cold fronts pushing through this week. First one, of course, today. So a wintry mix pushing in probably after 2 o'clock in the northwest areas, working its way northeast, staying into the northwoods, putting about a trace to a half an inch today. But that's also bringing the cooler temperatures and feistier winds, so that lake effect snow machine turns right back on. So areas of the snow belt and towards Ashland and areas like that, probably 1 to 3 inches by tomorrow afternoon. A winter weather advisory does start in Iron County at 6 o'clock tonight and last through 6 a.m. tomorrow, where you guys could see about 2 to 5 inches of additional snowfall. And then for everyone throughout the state, our temperatures are falling. I'm talking highs tomorrow in the upper 20s to low 30s. Then we crash to the low 20s on Wednesday And even further on Thursday, we fall below zero overnight lows and single digits for the highs on Thursday. So some very, very crisp air moving in. But we rebound quickly. Like I said, by Sunday, we'll be near 40 again. So it's like a yo-yo.
Oh, man. Brass monkey weather. I'm not looking forward to that at all. But it comes with the terror. It comes with the, is it the latitude? The longitude?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't owned a globe for a while here. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay. Again, on the Text to Win contest, jolly is our key word here. So Selena, well, first off, I am sure you saw Wicked right away.
Oh gosh. Yes. That Thanksgiving week, we saw best Christmas pageant ever, Moana 2 and Wicked. So we saw them all.
And Kristen, Greg, you guys have not seen the movie, I assume.
Nope.
Same here. Looking at the box office numbers from over the weekend, Moana 2 has now sailed to a record $52 million second weekend. Moana 2 is at $600 million globally at this point. And
I was just looking up those same numbers in the break.
Oh, were you? Okay. Do you?
Yeah, I was.
And then Wicked. Let's see. Wicked is now at $455 million globally. Mm-hmm. That's pretty
really?
Good.
Really? Moana is beating out Wicked? That's
interesting. Moana is, yes.
That's interesting.
Again, the power of the children. Think of the children.
And then Marie said that was her favorite. How expensive the marketing has been for Wicked, they have not made a profit.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they have or not, but the marketing's been everywhere. I mean, it's on cereal boxes, and it's infiltrating every aspect of our lives.
And I know that I've got a granddaughter who probably can't wait to eventually see it, but she gets very worked up about Moana. She's very particular because she likes the Disney princesses. You know, she likes to put on the dress. She's got the dresses for like Snow White and the others.
For sure.
And if you list. If you list Moana among them, she gets this 2-year-old gets very upset. Moana, not a princess. Moana, not a princess. When you look at it, Moana is much more physical. She isn't relying on like a prince at the end of the movie or any of that stuff. I mean, she's a bad. I can't say that word.
Mama Jamma.
Mama Jamma. Yes, exactly. So I'm like, you know what, dear? You're right. Moana, not a princess.
Moana can be a princess and still be tough and kick butt and doesn't need a man.
Yeah. My friend teaches, she's the musical director at one of the high schools here in town. And her review included that Moana had more, she was a little more muscular and she kind of did more of that physical stuff. And she liked the advancement of Moana in Moana 2 because she was a little more like, tough.
That she is. Yes, Greg.
I'm really surprised that Moana's like development body style and she's a cartoon hasn't set like certain lawmakers and pundits off the rails. Like,
well,
why
does
she have to be all
off.
Tough and muscular with the muscles for men muscles, not women muscles.
Oh God, here we another issue of is she competing in sports?
Yeah.
Let's just get back to Wicked, shall we? Now that we've established the box office numbers for both of them. And if you missed it before the end of the hour here, Selena had a chance to talk with somebody very well connected to the movie.
Oh, yes. Sean Bode is Marissa Bode's father, who Marissa plays Nessa Rose. She is Elphaba's sister in Wicked. And if you don't know the movie, Elphaba, she's a misunderstood young woman because of her green skin. And then she and Glinda, a popular girl, they become best friends in the movie. And that's kind of the whole premise. And Nessa Rose is the sister. She goes off to college and that's kind of where they all meet. And so the story of Marissa Bode goes back to, a long time. She was in plays for years as a kid. And what has happened is when she was 11, her mom was picking her up from play practice and they got into a car accident. They were hit and Marissa ended up paralyzed from the waist down. And that plays a role, of course, in the rest of her life and in Wicked, because Marissa ended up being the first actor who uses a wheelchair to play the character in Wicked. So that's a pretty big deal. And that's what we talked about. But we talked about their entire story. Marissa moved out to LA to go to college in real life for theater. And she got a call after they were looking for a person to play this part for a very long time. And then she got a call to audition, and she did. And then they all didn't think she got the part because there was just a lot of happening. And they kind of were joking with her and like, maybe she didn't get the part. So then they kind of left off that dream and said, okay, well, that was just a dream. But then she got a call, and this is Sean Bodie, her dad, from there, from Mazomanie in Wisconsin. And so of course that whole town is just going crazy of the excitement, but they got the call, and this is how it went at the Bodie home in Wisconsin.
What happens, my wife answered the phone and she goes, "Are you kidding me?" And the first thing in my head was, someone broke into her apartment. It is LA. It is LA, you know. And she was having some issues with her apartment manager at the time. And my wife, Pat, goes, "She got the role." I go, "She got the role. She got the role." And I'm like, if you can believe you can swear with glee, you can swear in glee, say, "Oh, holy out," you know, whatever. And we put her on speakerphone, and she's just bawling because she's so excited.
So you can imagine the excitement in that
home.
Oh,
gosh, yes. Wow.
How cool.
And Mazomanie. I did not know that. I've got, for folks who know the singer Skylar Grey, she's a Kreitlo. She's a husband, or a cousin, rather, and she's from the Mazomanie area. So quite the little arts enclave there.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. All right. So tell us more about the conversation.
And then we went on to talk about, he really laid out the whole story for me. It was just a really fascinating story for that whole family. And then he talks about, you know, they're really an advocate for people with disabilities. And so when she got to be kind of this representative, it was just such a neat experience for so many different reasons. But then this is him kind of talking about that, how neat of an experience about that.
I think moving away, you know, it's given her a voice, and she's had her own channels where she's taught, even before Wicked, she's talked about disability. She's part of a network of people who, with disabilities. So she's not afraid to speak her mind when it comes to things like this. And the fact that the significance, as you were asking, 21 years, is that 21 years that they've never cast even a person who might be ambulatory but using a wheelchair, never casting anyone with a disability to do the character of Nessa Rose.
Wow. Well, we'll find more about or learn more about it from Selena when we come back. We'll take a break here on Up North News Radio for this Monday morning, December 9th. Nice to have you along. We'll continue in just a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That's John Coltrane from today's history lesson, recorded A Love Supreme on this day in 1964. In sports, the Milwaukee Bucks were winners against Brooklyn, snapping a two-game losing streak. Let's see, final score there was, 118 to 113. There we go. Giannis with 34 points. Damian Lillard, 15 points. Bobby Portis added 23 points. Chris Middleton made his season debut back on Friday, finally recovering from injury. The Bucks now will next play at home tomorrow night against Orlando, 6 p.m. in a quarterfinal for the NBA Emirates Cup in-season tournament.
Yeah, the cup.
If I, I tried to put some excitement in my voice to sell the tournament.
It
helped. Not working. It's not working at all. Oh, thank you. You bet. That's what we call overkill. No, nobody's had that reaction to that tournament ever before. Selena Heller is with us, and she's been talking to Sean Bode, the father of Marissa Bode, who is a member of the cast of Wicked.
Yeah, they've gone all over the world for this for this movie. They've been to premieres. There's a brother and the mom and the dad, and they've been just all over the world. They've been Australia and London, and can you imagine the experience? And he was talking about meeting the actors and how kind of fun that was. So I asked him kind of what the neatest thing was, and this is what he said.
Wow. I don't know if there's one single thing. I think just the joy of experiencing the whole 2 years, just seeing this come to fruition, watching her on screen and just being blown away. I mean, just being blown away is like, it's beyond, it's just beyond imagination.
That's awesome. And how did it feel for you though? Because I mean, it sounds like Marissa is to you what you are to me, that you've been in roughly 100 plays, which is 101 more than me. So now you, a theater kid, you're watching this theater kid, you know, in Hollywood. And I can just tell from you doing the interview, you were excited for her and for the family.
Oh my gosh, it was so neat. We literally did talk an hour last night. And I
believe it.
To you all night. Yeah. You felt how proud and the whole community has been so supportive, and they've had, you know, the showings and it was just a neat story, I think, for the whole state. And he said, you know, amongst his family, it's so exciting, and all of his relatives, they're calling him. And we talked about, I played the mom in A Christmas Story here in Eau Claire before at our community theater and in Menominee. And we talked about that. And he's like, oh, that's a big role. Oh my goodness. And he was like, oh my goodness. And I was thinking, your daughter's in Wicked.
I was going to say, but he was in theater too, as well.
Yes. They were
you
in
can
Wizard
tell.
Of Oz
there was
together.
A bond there. Yeah.
Yes. They were in Wizard of Oz together when she was 11. So and he sings. And so they've done a lot of theatrical stuff together. And when Marissa gets an audition, she calls him and they prep together. He helps her prep. So it's a cool bond that they have. And yeah, it was very lovely talking with him.
See, you can do that though. You can say, here, help prep lines with me. Kristen can't turn to Craig. Sherry can't turn to me and go, hey, I'm operating tomorrow. Why don't you help me, help me practice on this.
So I do that with my son though, who is a musical theater kid. And you know, not to flip the script here, but I think it's really important to acknowledge not only is Marissa talented and beautiful, but she's also courageous. And she has experienced some online harassment, some ableist comments,
yes,
about being in a wheelchair, being an actress, people saying things like, you need to stand up for yourself. You know, those are hurtful comments. And for someone in her situation who has broken down so many barriers and achieved this incredible accomplishment, it is so sad to see this, but so inspiring that she has spoken out about it. And she's helping people understand that this, you may think it's funny, it's not funny stuff, guys. Not funny.
No, it's really, like I said, it's advancing life for a whole lot of other folks. And it takes far more to do that than it does to be somebody behind a keyboard, you know, spouting that kind of hate that people frankly just feel more emboldened to do. And I mean, Selena can tell you firsthand the risk it takes just to get up on that stage. I never did it. I never, despite lots of encouragement in high school, there was just no way you were going to get me up on a stage to do that. Kristen, Greg, I don't recall if I've asked if either of you were in theater productions.
Yes.
Well, Pat, I'm glad
she just gives us a yes. And then she was Goldie Gopher.
Well, I saw Greg sidling up to the mic, so we've got to start, Greg.
Funny you should ask.
I was in plays in grade school, high school, and college, and I remember I won an award in high school that they didn't want to give to me at the senior awards dinner because I had at the time I still had long hair, and they felt like I wasn't a good representation of the school, so they shoved my award into a different award ceremony, and like it was a Scholastic, and then they're like best senior acting award. I'm like, I am not supposed to be here right now. This is very weird, but I'm an award-winning actor, Pat. I'm an award-winning actor, two-time award-winning actor. What's up, everybody? Look at you, Meryl Streep.
Okay, here's where Kristen tells us she won a regional Oscar for something. Something in Kaukauna.
No, just cute little high school stuff. But it's so cool to have these opportunities. And, you know, some of the children's theater opportunities. When we moved back to Green Bay, some of the things that the kids were able to get involved in at all levels, all skills, all ages, it's a beautiful community building thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can start out and just learn if it's for you. And
that's great. So Lena, thank you so much. You can you can see everything that she's covering for us over at upnorthnewswi.com and Up North News on social media as well. Looking very festive in your, reindeer.
Yep.
Okay.
We have a lot of Christmas clothes.
All right. Well, I can see we got to step up our Christmas fashion game.
I'm wearing
Monday
a Peanuts t-shirt
after.
From Halloween.
Holiday.
Well, at least it was a holiday. Good job. Kristen, thank you. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you a little later.
Thank you. See you.
All right. Now, when we come back, again, this is a bit more of a, I guess you'd call it an inside baseball conversation with Michael Horecki, but it's very important, especially coming off this election night, of what progressives can do, not just the candidates, but the groups and folks who work in communities year-round to do more networking and organizing and training the campaign workers of the future. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Back now at 7:34 on this Monday morning. Nice to have you along on Up North News Radio. There's something that we have not done a ton of since Election Day. We're going to do a little bit of it now, and that's introspection on what progressive groups and Democrats at large and the Democratic Party specifically might want to consider doing differently in future election cycles, especially here in Wisconsin. Now, of course, there was a mixed bag of results. Everybody was very happy to see Senator Tammy Baldwin win a third term, and yet Donald Trump won the state here. There was a similar pattern in swing states around the country. We've talked about that. We've talked about the Democratic gains in the legislature, but it's clear that there is still more that can be done. Michael Horecki is one of the folks that's been working with labor leaders, progressive groups, and others. He's not just got his Wisconsin roots, but he's worked in other parts of the country. And as he and I have been having discussions about where we need to go from here, we thought we might share that at this point and see what kind of a reception we get. Michael Horecki, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on this morning, Pat.
Well, you bet. Thanks for joining us very much. As we got to talking, we realized, well, let me back up a step here, because Ben Wickler, the state Democratic Party chair, is running, for DNC chair, and for good reason. He's got a lot of good organizational skills. But those skills are also necessary at all levels of a party, not just the national party, the state party, but the local party as well. So that when voters are starting to get messages at election time, those messages need to be consistent. Those messages need to be timely. Those messages need to be not just one and done, but repeat them over and over again. And so there's always a little bit of room for improvement in this. And so as we look at what needs to happen next, I've spoken a lot about the need to continue to work on infrastructure all year round, not just at election time. And you're one of those folks who's worked on a number of campaigns and has identified that need as well. Can you talk a bit about, you know, campaigns that you've worked on in the past that have led you to have these opinions on how you campaign smarter in the future?
Yeah, 100%, Pat. Yeah, we in politics have a problem, which is it is a seasonal job. We've got folks who come in, they do an election cycle, and every November you're unemployed. And that's a tough job to have, to every 2 years feel like you're looking for your next gig. And so we need to, as Democratic operatives, as Democratic strategists, be able to provide some stability to folks who are doing this type of campaign work. It's the only way we're going to retain people, retain their skills, retain their knowledge, cycle to cycle. And so one of the things that I'm really excited about and really passionate about talking about right now is the ability to come up with a different way to think about how we provide stability and training for those folks who are working these types of races.
It's such an unusual thing. And I saw it firsthand when I ran for the legislature in 2006, when, you know, I talked to folks at the state party and they said, well, because you're going to be one of the high profile races, we will assign you a campaign manager. And I thought, yeah. Oh, I'm going to get like a James Carville type in here. And in walks this young woman, about 22 years old, you know, fresh out of college. And I got lucky. She was so amazingly gifted. She got me elected as much as I did. But she'd also worked on a couple of campaigns already. The fact of the matter is, Michael, that I think people don't understand just how many young people and young people who don't do this year round are running campaigns, and that nothing against them, but that sporadic kind of employment might explain how the results aren't always as good as maybe they could be.
Yeah, 100%, Pat. I think what your experience, and I know mine as well, is you've got a lot of talented young people who are excited to get engaged, right? And they jump in and they're like, where can I go? Where can I start? And we end up assigning these folks to these targeted races like yours and others when they run for office. But this is their first job often for many of these folks. So we have a huge challenge that not only do we have to train these people how to be campaign managers, we're training these folks how to have a job at all, period. This is their first adult job where they're getting into it and they're having to realize what they have to do every single day. On top of that, being a campaign manager is a really hard job. You got to be a strategist. You got to be a project manager. You got to build relationships in communities that maybe you've never even worked in before. That's a tough skill set. And we're asking our young people, these passionate young people who are excited to get engaged, to do that with very minimal training and mentorship. Because unlike a normal job, the candidate you're working for, they often weren't a campaign manager before, right? Like in most business settings, right? The person who is your boss did the job before you, and they could train you up on how to do that. We don't have that luxury in campaigns. So we've got to come up with a new system that looks very different than anything else that exists to find a way to mentor and train these young people when they're coming in, because they don't have those skills.
So we're going to come back to where we take people, you know, from here in that role in a moment. But let me now come down another track, and that is the track not of campaigns, but of media itself. Over at the Courier Newsroom site, there's a column by Lauren Baer, B-A-E-R, Lauren Baer. And she talks about the billion-dollar case of Democratic myopia and how, after spending more than $1 billion over 107 days, there's not much left to show for it. And the point that she's making is that there needs to be more done year round, not just political commercials for a couple of months every couple of years, but something day after day, similar to what you see in the right wing, you know, media ecosystem that's out there. So now to come back to what you were talking about, people saying, well, what can you do? You can't give these younger people more experience. There's only so many elections. What are you going to do? Make up elections in between? No, but there's definitely other things that young people who want to engage in public service through politics could be doing year round. I mean, you've talked to folks in, you know, in the labor unions, people in the parties. There would definitely be room for improvement if the funding were there to do something like that, right?
100%. Yeah, Pat. I think the funding is such an important piece of this because it is critical to make sure that we're providing stability as well to these operatives, right? We got to be able to put them in an environment where they can practice and train their craft month over month in different settings, right? They can do it with labor unions. They can do it with third-party interest groups. They can do it in messaging and communication firms around the state, and then they can do it on campaigns. And we can create an ecosystem to do that where we can then train and retain these people. But to do it, we have to have the resources. And I think what Lauren hit the nail on the head on in her piece is right now we are investing so much in short-term strategies, right? Like we are investing in TV commercials, digital ads, radio, literature pieces, things that end after the cycle, and there's no staying power there.
And there can be, for example, she lists that you can have things like funding year-round voter registration. There's no reason right. voter registration just has to happen for the couple weeks before the election. Other ways to work with state and local groups, they're all beyond the county Democratic or Republican parties. There are all kinds of other groups that work in conservation, you know, environment, other interest groups that are out there that you could be working with. You could be, as she writes here, building trust with voters, building relationships rather than swooping into communities, you know, mere weeks before an election. Invest in the talent pipeline, she writes, that produces campaign staff and organizers and candidates and civic leaders. And again, that there are organizations out there that train the candidates and train the staff of the future, but you can't be taking them for granted in the off years.
100%. This is just like any business, right? This is something you have to continually invest in. And what I love about where Lauren's going with her piece is we as Democrats need to stop playing the short game, right? We need to stop playing the mindset that we're going to win every election. You hear this, every election is the most critical election we've ever had. They're all important. That's true. But if you think about even game theory, right, we have to have an infinite mindset, right? There's going to be an innumerable number of elections for the many, many years to come. And we need to invest in the infrastructure to start playing that infinite game, to start trying to win the long-term generational control of politics versus trying to win every single election, every single cycle. If you do that, you're going to come up short long-term.
Yeah. So when you think about it from a Wisconsin standpoint, do you feel like the groups exist, that the funds are out there, that Wisconsin could be some kind of a leader in the progressive messaging and campaign infrastructure of the future?
I absolutely do. I think we're the perfect place for it. I think in Wisconsin, we have a couple things going for us. One, we are a purple swing state. You look, Donald Trump won the election here by 30,000 votes. Joe Biden won it before by 20, and then Donald Trump had won it by 20 before that. It's been incredibly close. So this is the perfect place to trial a program to see if we can just move the needle just a little bit. Because that's all we really need here to have victory. And we know that millions and millions and millions of dollars are being spent here every single election cycle. A lot of it, though, is not going towards that long-term vision, right? In investment in the infrastructure, right? It's TV commercials and all those things that annoy the crap out of everybody on the television. So we have an opportunity here, I think uniquely, to trial something that if it works, could be a model that could be applied across swing states nationally to show how we can do a better job building and retaining our talent pipeline.
And keeping more of that talent here, because as you've noted in the past, campaign operatives are transient. And I mean, you could draw a line on a map that, well, actually, you have a map like that with a line that's drawn right. from state to state, the places where you've gone to be helpful. But not a lot of that has been in Wisconsin. Talk about your own path.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, grew up in Eau Claire, but my political path took me to Iowa, where I did my first state house race. I ended up in Michigan doing local political work at city council level. I ended up doing a congressional race in West Michigan because that's where the job was, and then ended up out in D.C. Working at a communications firm out there. I floated all over the country, and where I would really want to be is here in Wisconsin. But if the jobs aren't there, if the stability isn't there, you're not able to stay. And then that wasn't true for me. And so coming back now to Wisconsin, as I travel around the state, just see all these talented young people who are invested in our communities, who want to be here, who want to be doing the work. we just don't have a place for them to go. I mean, the amount of calls I'm getting right now, Pat, on my phone from all of these operatives who are unemployed and are saying, I'm trying to find a place to stay. I want to be here in Wisconsin. I want to do the work. Do you know how I can get involved in the next race? Do you know where I can go until I can get on the next next state Senate campaign or the next state assembly race? Because I got to find something for the next 6 months or 9 months or 12 months. It's a ton. You know, I'm getting all of these calls and I feel terrible because there's right now not a home for these folks. But we can build that. We can be the state that shows the way forward.
Yeah. And in doing so, again, keeping that homegrown talent here or even attracting talent from other states that see what we're doing here. All right. So to sum this up, people are hearing this and saying, OK, well, what do you want me to do about it? Well, first off, there's a couple of different audiences here. One is that should Ben Wickler become the chair of the National Democratic Party, there's going to be an opening for a new leader at the state Democratic Party. There will surely be multiple candidates. And this really, I think, this discussion shows where these points need to be part of the race for the next Democratic Party chair. What, not just are you a good fundraiser, not just are you a good organizer, but what are you going to do to help the homegrown talent of the future and to keep them here? So that's one audience for this conversation. The other audience, frankly, is for people who do write, you know, little checks during campaign season to a candidate or maybe to a state party or a national group. But there are local groups, they're local county parties and other entities that they should consider being year-round financial supporters at a small dollar level. Be supporters of the groups that you are invested in, literally, not just at election time.
I totally agree, Pat. We've got to rethink the way that we, as volunteers, as donors, whatever your role in the political process, it's got to be something that is longer term and longer lasting than a couple weeks before the election getting engaged. This is going to be, especially with the administration that's coming in now, something that we've got to be every single day engaged. And it's going to be exhausting hard work, but by doing that and remaining engaged financially, volunteering in whatever way is right for you, that's going to be critical. And if we do that, if we as volunteers, donors, start demanding that out of the organizations that we're participating in, we'll get the change that we want to see, I think.
Well, Michael Horecki, thank you very much. I know there was a lot of inside baseball for some of the listeners out there, but I hope you got one of two things. Either you're already following something like this and you were happy to hear a little bit more about people trying to stay active and growing the progressive network infrastructure out there. Or if you're not interested in this at all, you at least enjoyed listening to us pull the curtain back a little bit and talk about the people behind the scenes who make all these campaigns happen. Michael, thank you again for your time. We'll continue to follow the issue and we'll get you back on to put on more of a general political analyst hat again with us real soon.
Thanks for having me on, Pat. Appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks, Michael. When we come back, we'll start to wrap up our conversation for this Monday morning. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jane says, will Pat Whitten speak? Yeah, but not for a couple of minutes here because I got some business to take care of.
Not first. A problem.
There was a very active discussion in the comment section today about tariffs. And as a result, buried in the back and forth about tariffs, I completely whiffed on Rob saying good morning from Tigerton. And so, Rob, my apologies, but he did note that it's partly cloudy, 36, foggy, some slippery roads in the northern parts. Got caught up with his reading of his highway history. Saturday was National Weather Spotters Day, and Brittany was the one who helped me be a weather spotter. I love Monday mornings, seeing five of the best people on radio and social media. You all are the best. And three of them aren't here to hear that now. But anyway, did you see the amazing sunset last night? I took pictures of the sunset in the Wittenberg area. Rob, with all due respect, I think we have to make that six of the best people because Jane Matinera is here with us now.
Good morning.
Tell us more about Matinera on air. So, but wait, no, I'll get to you in just a minute. I got one more thing.
I'll just wait outside.
there is this grown-up Christmas list contest that is going on here. That's probably not even the right job. A grown-up gift list.
There you go.
Apparently, Amy Grant will sue us if we use the name of the song. Anyway, keyword several times throughout the day, including the 7 a.m. hour here. And this hour's keyword is jolly. For $100, J-O-L-L-Y, text it through the Civic Media app. We'll pick one winner each hour to win that hour's prize, which this hour is $100. Other times, it's an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then when all is said and done, all of those hourly winners throughout the next several days here will be randomly awarded one of eight grand prizes, including an espresso machine, a luggage set, a snowblower, a humidifier, a robot vacuum. Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Here's Jane now. Jane, I'll let you get to your show in a moment. Where are you on robot vacuums?
I would probably no. I think no.
I just don't see how they're ever that thorough given where everything is and all that. And
all the maneuvering you have to do. My husband and I bought a Shark. Not too long ago. I love that thing. Mm. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum. This tells you how old I am. This is what makes me happy.
Oh no! When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Yes.
Words to live by. Well, look at the time here. What do you have coming up on Matt Naranera this week?
We are going to be talking to Heather Dubois-Bordenon today at 10:33 to talk about education in Wisconsin. The wonderful and talented and host of Nightlight, Pete Schwabe, is going to be joining us at 11:06. He had a really, really nice interview in the Cap Times. I want to say it was the last week, within the last couple of weeks. So we're going to bring on the very accomplished Mr. Schwabe and talk up to him about all the things he's done and all the contacts he's got. And it's a great show. It's a great way to wind down at the end of the day. They talk about a lot of funny things. And he has got some names, too.
He does.
He does.
Absolutely. He had John Legend.
Yeah, John Legend.
That's right. Yes.
Pretty cool.
Alicia writes in, I think a robot vacuum would frighten my 8-year-old Dalmatian lab. Yes,
probably.
Tony, Alfred runs daily at 8 a.m. while I'm dropping off the kids, and then I sweep later in the day. He's named as Robot Vacuum Alfred.
That's adorable.
That's the best. I like that. I like that very much. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. It was kind of uneventful. I did my full outdoor Christmas display, which this year involved putting up the wreath.
That's what we're down to now as well.
I'm done.
Used to be lights, get the extension ladder, go up on the highest garage peak, and now there's a wreath on the front door. Boom.
Pat,
done.
When we first bought our house, I used to put up so many lights that we couldn't use the microwave because I would blow circuits. And so, but over the years, it's just gotten to, as you get older,
it's like,
I'm not climbing up there anymore. Nope.
I mean, first it was like, well, I don't want to. It's inconvenience, a hassle. And then you get to a point where it's like, no, I legit could fall. That would not be fun.
One of my favorite sightings, by the way, speaking of Christmas lights on my drive down here, and I told Greg about this last week, somebody took the time, Pat, to go up to the second level and do the entire gutters on the second floor, and then either apparently just got tired and then dropped the string all the way down from the roof to a bush.
That reminds me of the old thing, plan ahead, but ahead, they can't even finish the word because they didn't.
It's just like
my lights and I'm done.
Yeah, that's enough. It. I'm just throwing it down there and we'll pretend it connects to something.
Yeah, I do like that there's more of these like inflatable things that you could, if you wanted to, you could put up in your so there's things that are really nice, but I also know they could be like a real hassle. A windy day could take care of it. I was just never going to get caught up in the Christmas lights contest, that some neighbors like to have.
No.
Not going to be me at all. Tomorrow morning on our program, children's author Laura Bird will be here with some holiday gift recommendations, not just for the young book readers on your list, but for grownups as well. I think it's a great theme. Books that let's make America read again.
What a thought.
Let's, read some books. It can be done. It can be done. So Laura Bird will have that. And Jane and Greg, of course, will. I'm guessing you'll have one of those grown-up gift list keywords to talk about as well.
We will in the 11 o'clock hour. I already know what it is, and I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, is this... Oh, no. Is this going to be a you and Todd thing again?
I know. I surrender. I surrender to the great and almighty Alba. Because he's beaten
no,
us.
No, it's on now.
He won't let you.
He's beaten us twice. He's beaten us twice. I give.
Hey,
Uncle.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? I mean, come on. No?
Did the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor, Pat?
Forget it. Let him go. He's on a roll.
Okay.
Animal House, always the best. Greg and Jane, thank you. We'll see you in a couple hours.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, and thanks to all of you for being here for Up North News Radio here in Arlington, Virginia. Looking forward to getting back to Wisconsin and saying hi to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. from Chippewa Falls. We'll see you up north. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.